And I wanted to have an opportunity to talk about that with another local basketball fan, another born and raised Coloradan like me, who's been watching this team since they were a kid. So, joining us now is our friend Justin Adams. Of course, you have an opportunity to catch him on Denver 7. And on Twitter, you can follow him at Justin Adams TV. Emmy nominated, by the way. I like reminding people about that. How's it going, my friend?
Doing very well. I'm watching my son here. So, if you hear some crying in the background for my wife listening, it's not my fault. I did great parenting, so everything's okay.
Hey, we've done a year with this with the pandemic. Everyone knows how it goes. They're talking in front of cameras, and people have their own filters on, and it makes them, whatever, it works out.
Right.
Big news today, of course, Nikola Jokic wins NBA MVP. It was expected, which is sort of shocking in its own way, to have a Denver Nugget as the MVP. What were your first thoughts as a guy growing up here like me and watching the Nuggets and having them basically always be overlooked?
Well, you know, the only thing you could think about is, like, the Dikembe Mutombos, for example, the Carmelo Anthonys when he was here. You always thought about those players, and you would think maybe one day that possibly they could somehow be the MVP. Or, to be very honest, if you're truly a Nuggets fan and been for a while, you just wanted this team to be talked about in a positive view from a national perspective. So to see a guy who was drafted in the second round, who was the 41st overall pick, who literally was sleeping when he was picked and drafted in the NBA, and oh, by the way, ESPN thought so much of him that they had a Taco Bell commercial running while he was being drafted. That just lets you know that this means so much more to Nuggets fans, and we all love it.
Yeah, obviously it is the first MVP in Nuggets history, although a bit of a shout-out to former Denver Rocket Spencer Haywood, who did win the MVP back in the 1969-1970 season in the old ABA. But the first Nuggets MVP goes to Jokic, who, from every way you look at it, you can look at it at analytics and he stands up. You can look at it if you just watch a game, you can see it. You can look at it in the fact that out of the four teams that were in the conference finals, this is the only one left, and they had the worst injury circumstance. So all in all, I take a look at this performance by Jokic, and yeah, there are going to be some in the national media that look at it and think that this doesn't make sense. He's the worst MVP in the modern era, things like that. But when you look at it as a person that's seen this, seen the NBA for a while, seen what Jokic can do, I'm not sure. And it sounds over the top, but I mean, I've covered the NBA since 1994. I'm not sure I've ever seen anyone quite like Nikola Jokic. If you want to argue there are some players that have been better, I'm not going to argue with that. There have. But as far as uniqueness and ability, I'm really not sure I've ever seen anyone like this guy.
No, we haven't. And it just shows the changing of the guard in the NBA, where now you really go to positionless players. You have a guy in Nikola Jokic that literally can bring the ball up the court, can shoot from deep from the outside, can pass better than, to be very honest, it's few people in the league that has ever played this game that could pass better than him, can do so much to just affect the offense, right? And so he could change anything on offense, just an amazing player. But then you even look at him defensively. And look, we know that there are better players defensively than Nikola Jokic. We're not going to lie to you on this program. But what he does with the way that he is able to contest passes, contest shots, get steals, even get blocks. He had four blocks in one playoff game this year already. He does so much on the court. And oh, by the way, he's available. You don't have to worry about injury history with Nikola Jokic. You know that every game you have number 15 that's going to be starting for the Nuggets, and that's a big thing to have for him.
Yeah, the last MVP to do that, to start every game, was Kobe Bryant, who a few years ago actually did get ahead of things and suggested that Jokic could be that kind of player. When did he really make the leap? Obviously, we know there was the challenge of trying to work things out with Yusuf Nurkic. It didn't work out. The Nuggets picked one of the two. They definitely picked the right one. But when you look at him sort of click, was it getting in shape? Was it just getting the time? Was it the fact that this guy's just sort of a savant at the way the game works and he just needed to get on the floor? How would you put it together?
Actually, I'll put it together in a loss. I think the game that he lost going up against the Minnesota Timberwolves, where they had a chance to get to the playoffs and they weren't able to get that done. And you saw Karl-Anthony Towns, and he was powerful at dunking and shooting from the outside, or, you know, from mid-range. But then you saw Jokic literally control that game. And even though the Nuggets didn't win that one and they were sent home, and thankfully they were able to pick up Michael Porter Jr. with the 14th pick of that draft, it just showed that, wait a minute, this guy is special. And if you get the right pieces around him, then you're going to really just blossom his game as well. And so to me, it was actually in a loss where I looked up and said, wait a minute, this guy you could build around, he could be the cornerstone of your team.
Yeah, and when you look at the way that he performed, and you talked about the ability to stay healthy, there were only 11 players in the entire NBA who played every game this year. The fact that one of them was the best player in all of basketball is pretty remarkable. And then you look at the fact that centers traditionally don't win this award. He's the first one since Shaquille O'Neal in 2000, you know, 20 years ago. And what does this mean for NBA basketball as a global sport? Hakeem Olajuwon, Tim Duncan, Steve Nash, Dirk Nowitzki, and Giannis Antetokounmpo have now won as international winners. But when you look at the last three I mentioned, especially Nowitzki and Antetokounmpo, these are guys from Europe. And now you're seeing MVPs come from there. The way they play is different. Antetokounmpo, Giannis is just as different in his own way as Jokic is. Mm-hmm. This, to me, looking at Jokic winning an MVP, tells me that the sport of basketball on a global scale has, one, never been healthier, and two, it is evolving in a way that looks a little bit more like those two guys.
It's the most global game in the world. This, I mean, and I know we like to say soccer. Well, let me take that back. Excuse me. I don't want to be – let me take that back. Soccer is the most global sport. Basketball is a close two. And it just shows that – if you don't know how to kick a ball around, maybe you could put it in the hole. And that's exactly what Nikola Jokic, Giannis, Luka, all these other guys have really opened up the sport to everyone, just in general. And so it's a great thing to see in the NBA. But the one thing that they have to improve on is now that your game is global, capitalize on it. Just so show the same couple of guys over and over again. And just don't throw Steph again, right? Like, there's more players than Steph and LeBron, right? They're great players. Don't get me wrong. But when you have a global sport, then you go and advertise literally everybody that you have. You put them on display. Jokic is now one of them. Giannis is now one of them. Luka is now one of them. So you have a great opportunity to be able to do that, not only with just one team in the Mile High City, but the rest of the teams you have in the NBA as well.
No other player, with the exception of Chris Paul, got more than a single first-place vote. Jokic ended up with 91 of the 101 first-place votes. And when you look behind it, it's some interesting names, of course. Luka Doncic was on that list. Damian Lillard was on that list. Julius Randle, who really improved for the Knicks, was on that list as well. Giannis was on with one vote. Rudy Gobert was on with one vote. And goodness gracious, Derrick Rose got a vote. But when you look at that, you realize that two votes, first place votes for Chris Paul and 91 for Nikola Jokic, he's won the league over, right? I mean, there are people in my line of work who maybe don't pay attention to Denver because they're just used to talking about a handful of stars. But the people who cover the league, the players around the league, they know this is real, and this shows it. 91 out of 101 first place votes is remarkable.
It also shows how much nonsense some of the other conversation was, right? To say Chris Paul is the MVP with the type of numbers that he put up.
He did get two votes. I guess that's second best. It's only 89 short.
Yeah, but we're not talking about second best. We're talking about who's the MVP. And Jokic is the MVP, right? And so, again, it just shows that for the people who are voters, right? And the one vote with Derrick Rose was because of the fan vote.
Right.
So you can't go and harm any of the media voters. But for the guys who are paying attention to the games, that are paying attention to the NBA, they got this right. And even, you know, part of me is like, well, Jokic should have been unanimous and this, that, and the other. But then you take a step back and you're like, wait a minute. Steph Curry did have a ridiculous year, even though they didn't get into the playoffs. He did have a ridiculous year, right? Embiid, to be very honest, if he doesn't get injured and miss 20 games, then he would have more first-place votes, and those would have been well-deserved. But at the end of the day, the guy with the MVP lives right here in your hometown, and that's Nikola Jokic, and that's great to see.
It also gives him a significant financial bump because now that he wins the MVP, that means he can sign a Supermax contract extension with the Nuggets after next season, which could be 5 years, $250 million. So there is a very tangible benefit to that. But how does this change the perception of the Nuggets as a franchise? Does it matter when you look at this team now, at least in the final eight? Last year they were in the final four. You now have the MVP. around the NBA world, including both the players and the media, does this change the perception of the Nuggets, and how so?
I'm going to answer that question by asking you another question. Mm-hmm. When you think about Giannis and the way that they're down 2-0 to Brooklyn with all the moves that they made, are you okay with that? Are you okay with them being a team that potentially could get swept out the second round? And I get it, right? They're going up against KD and, you know, Kyrie. But are you okay with Giannis potentially being in the second round for the second year in a row and being knocked out the playoffs?
I am, because what we're seeing in Brooklyn is one of those teams that happens every once in a while. You just have a team with a bunch of guys or mercenaries. They all sign up together to get a ring, and it doesn't feel like it's an authentically built roster. But it happens in the NBA all the time. So, it doesn't mean any less to me if Giannis is, you know, bettered by Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. It doesn't shock me.
Well, for you, it may not shock you. But for everybody else in the NBA, for the most part, it will. And their head coach is in a lot of trouble if he can't get out the second round. And the time is now ticking for Michael Malone and for the rest of the coaching staff. But look, I'm not saying that the Nuggets are going to fire Michael Malone, right? I'm not on that train at all. What I am saying is this, is that once you get MVP on your name, and once everyone knows that you're the franchise cornerstone, it's time for you to win a championship. Like, in the next 3 to 4 years, the Nuggets should have the Larry O'Brien trophy. And if there's not, then there's a mistake in the front office, there's a mistake in the coaching staff, or you just didn't get the job done, or you have injuries like you have this year. But at some point, once you win MVP, you need to have NBA champion along with your name too. Kind of like with Dirk, right? Dirk won in 06. They got knocked out in the first round of the playoffs. Fast forward a couple of years later, they were able to win a championship. That's the same trajectory the Nuggets need to be on.
The Bucks and the Nuggets actually have the same problem. They are a smaller market from an NBA standpoint. Players generally are trying to go to the coastal cities, one, because of the nightlife, all the things you can do, and the ancillary earning opportunities you have locally making commercials and working with big companies. So that's one of the advantages those major markets have in the NBA. How the Bucks or Nuggets could overcome that without being able to do what a Brooklyn does and just say, we'll have unlimited money, we'll just sign James Harden, we'll get Kevin Durant, we'll get Kyrie Irving, we'll grab Blake Griffin for the minimum. Not every team can do that, and the Nuggets are one of them who can't really do that. But you still think that a title should be the expectation?
Yep, title 100% is the expectation. And the way that you do it is you have to find guys, pretty much veterans, who you don't want to say are on the last leg, but have already made their money, and they're ready to sign on with this team and play with Jokic. You have to get some playoff performers. And to be very honest, you have to get lucky. And that's what has to happen with this team. And so, look, there's no other expectation that you can have when you have the MVP, right? Joe Sakic, hey, when he won the MVP in the NHL, what happened that same year? Avs won the Cup. At some point, you have to go and say, hey, this is the expectation of this franchise. We now have the best player this year in the NBA. We've been waiting for this opportunity to have that. You have a budding star, Michael Porter Jr. You have Jamal Murray, who's going to come off a torn ACL. I know Will Barton is hurt right now, but he should be able to play tomorrow, hopefully. And you're going to have him from another year because he's going to pick up that player option most likely, right? So you have the pieces there. The only question that we all should be asking is this. Will the Kroenkes spend the money? They don't want to go into the luxury tax, and we totally understand. But will the Kroenkes spend the money when you have a franchise cornerstone in Nikola Jokic to win a championship? That's the biggest question.
It is, because obviously you can exceed that cap to sign Jokic, to sign your own player, but it does mean you're going into the tax more than likely. This series against the Jazz, against the Suns, they lose the first game. They were at a 10-point lead. They just fell apart. Given the injury situation that you talked about, if the Nuggets don't get out of this round, I look at it and think that's not unreasonable, because I look at this team healthy and say, I think they would have beaten the Suns pretty soundly last night, and I think they'd be favored to advance. In fact, this to me is going to be the biggest what-if season in Nuggets history, because I look at the rest of the group in the Western Conference and think they'd have a tough series against the Clippers, but we know how that went. And so the Nuggets could have very well found themselves in the NBA Finals this year if they were just a little healthier, but knowing that they're not, and hearing all around that, look, the Lakers are excused. They had injuries. Anthony Davis was playing hurt. Certainly the Nuggets have those as well, don't they?
Oh, they have 100% those issues. And to be very honest, when you look at yesterday's game, what was really the issue? The issue wasn't that they couldn't make shots in the first 2.5 quarters of the game. It was once they got to the middle of the third quarter, they just couldn't make a bucket. They didn't have any guard play. They didn't have one player out there that was able to take the ball to the rim, slow down the momentum, and get to the free throw line. They didn't have one guy. And so, again, that's why it's so important to have the Will Bartons come back. Hopefully P.J. Dozier later on in this series could be able to come back, because it gives you several more wing defenders and several tall guys out there who could go and handle the basketball but also get to the rim as well. And the Nuggets need that in the worst way.
We're talking with our friend Justin Adams. You can follow him on Twitter at Justin Adams TV. And, of course, number 7. The last one for you, I guess, with – Jokic winning this MVP and the Nuggets having a chance to get into the Western Conference Finals a second time, do you believe in this offseason they're going to find the players that you've talked about, the guys that might step up, the ones that we see sign with the Lakers, with Brooklyn? Can the Nuggets say, look where we were in the last two seasons. We're at this point. Who do you think they can go get?
Oh, wow, that's a good one. Oh, my goodness. You know, Sean, I haven't done research on that one to answer back as quickly as
well,
I normally do.
Yeah, and I shouldn't say a particular player.
No, I do have one. No, wait. I'll give you one name. I'll give you one name off the top of my mind, Chris Paul. And if Chris Paul opts out, because next year he's set to make about $44 million or whatnot, but right. He wants to sign a long-term deal so he could be able to make a little bit more, you know, like a three-year, maybe $60 million deal. If the Nuggets can somehow get Chris Paul and get a ball handler and allow Jamal Murray to come back, and when he comes back healthy, he's not handling the rock, but he could go and be that shooting guard. If the Nuggets get Chris Paul, that'll be a problem for the rest of the NBA. That'll be a huge, huge problem.
That's a good one. That is interesting. He is Justin Adams. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Justin Adams TV. Always good to talk to you. This is fun. Like I said, you and I are local guys, so get to see the Nuggets get this terrific moment. Arguably, as a team that's never won a championship, perhaps the biggest single moment in Nuggets history. Awfully fun to talk about it tonight. Thanks.
100%, Sean. Appreciate it. And just know this, Nuggets fan, the best player in the NBA right now lives in your hometown. Now, we don't know about what's going to happen tomorrow, but for right now, he's the best player. So it's good to see Jokic get the MVP.
All right. Thanks so much. Have a good night.
All right. Take care.
It is always great to talk to Justin about that. Good perspective and very good points, obviously. The Nuggets eventually are going to become very, very pricey. And obviously, that's down the road. I get that. Really worried about what they can do the rest of this playoffs, and especially next if they stay healthy. But he's not wrong when he talks about the idea of this team being championship caliber. If they were healthy, there is no question. In fact, they might even be the favorites to make it to the finals if they were completely healthy. So, yeah, it's a disappointing end of the season for the Nuggets, but a well-deserved MVP for Nikola Jokic, and very, very exciting to see the Nuggets get that for the first time in their franchise history. The Denver Broncos are at their phase 3 of the offseason experience that is the NFL. And one of the primary positions that all of a sudden has become interesting, well, it's not the quarterback, but it's close. I mean, real close. I mean, millimeters close. I'll explain next.